Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know, I hate the fact that, you know, we're not able to, you know, just try to keep the leads, and if I come out the game or not even keep the leads, just sustain it. I hate it for my teammates. I hate it for myself. I hate it for everybody that's involved. It was another one of those instances, you know, I came out with 143, I believe, in the first quarter. We up 31-29, and then, you know, they went on a quick 10-0 run. You know, and against a team like this, those type of runs, you can't afford. And like you said, throughout the course of the regular season or throughout the course of the postseason, you know, we just got to find better ways, you know, as a collective unit, having the right pieces out on the floor or the guys that's on the floor, they have to do their job. Something we have to figure out.
Is it fair? I don't care. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, it's great for our league. I mean, right now, look at our TV ratings. Look at the money our league is pouring in. I mean, guys are loving the game. Our fans love the game. I mean, who am I to say if it's fair or not? No matter who am I going against, if I'm going against four Hall of Famers or whatever the case may be, I'm always excited to play the game, and I'm not one to judge or say if it's fair or not, if guys are adding, you know, players to their team. Is it fair that the New York Yankees in the 90s was adding piece after piece after piece after piece? If you have the opportunity to do that, is it fair that the Cowboys added Deion Sanders? I mean, it happens. It's sports. Have an opportunity to sign one of the best players, and you can do it, go ahead and do it. Why not? If I become an owner, I'm going to try to sign everybody.
I mean, we've made some mistakes coming down the stretch that we know we have to be better with. We had talked about before, you know, you can't make these mistakes against this team. You know, they're too good. You know, every time you make a mistake, they make you pay. Our fight, the way we competed, was great. We come out with that same effort on Friday. I feel confident we get a win.
I didn't tweet it. My Twitter got hacked. Somebody posted it. I was in the shower when the tweet went out. I believe it. I'm just glad they didn't tweet nothing crazy.
It wasn't you, but you could have
run. I could see myself saying that for sure. Absolutely. I'm just glad they did that instead of something dumb. Yeah, we coming back. I wouldn't be me if I didn't think that.
This could turn if we come out there thinking we won a championship already. We haven't, and they're still champions, and we got to go take it.
I'm blessed to have another opportunity at this thing, and this is something that's not guaranteed for any basketball player to have one more step on that ladder to get to where we want to go. I am focused and driven to take advantage of the moment.
I obviously won it here before, and it's a great feeling, you know, winning on somebody else's floor, celebrating on their floor, celebrating in their locker room, you know, quiet in their crowd. As an athlete, one of the best feelings is going into an opposing enemy territory and just silence in that crowd. At the end of the day, it don't matter where you win it at, as long as you can win it. I think we'll get their best shot tomorrow. You know, closeout games are always the hardest. This is the team that's going to come out and say we're down 3-0, we're laying down. They're going to come out and fight.
In response to the charges, Josh King, Donnie Corley, and Demetric Vance have been dismissed from our program effective immediately. We emphasize that success on the field is not enough. They also must embrace our core principles, which include integrity, as Mark talked about, respect, accountability, trust, and communication. The individuals in this case put themselves in a compromising position, did not live up to the standards we have outlined for this program. Sexual assault has no place in this community. Like Mark, I have had two daughters that have gone to school here. I understand the importance that last statement has in their lives and the lives of so many others here at Michigan State. This is and has been an extremely challenging situation that we've taken very seriously throughout the entire process. It has affected everyone in this program, top to bottom.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
I wondered. I wasn't sure if we were going to get that intro. I was just about to do it myself. Chris Lemieux is behind the console today pushing buttons for us. Frank Gargano is off. Wasn't sure if we were going to get that one done. Jim Cushlin is going to be out there selling cars. I mean, greeting good folks and customers at Yark's. We're going to talk to him in just a little bit. Welcome to the Extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Hey, Chris Lemieux, no worries, my brother.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I could have handled that. You know that.
No, I had to scroll through the pages. I completely forgot where it was here. I'm looking at page 7. It's like, oh, wait, two more pages. Oh, yep, there we go. Yep,
it's
yep,
been
yep,
a while since you've run this show.
Very, so, very long time. Yep,
first
I've been.
Of all, welcome back. Very
thank
good
you.
To have you, my man. I'm looking forward to talking with you and getting your input on just new voices on everything's going on here, particularly, you know, the NBA Finals probably comes to a close tonight. But no, I mean, I it's weird, but I've been in radio now for 20 years. I literally started in 1997. And almost every time, anywhere I've ever been, whenever there's a glitch or something like that with the, you know, with the Mr. Big Voice announcer, I do the Big Voice announcer thing myself because I secretly have always wanted to be Mr. Big Voice. That's what I've always wanted to do.
It's a lucrative job if you can get into it.
It's not only lucrative. I mean, it's stealing money, you know?
For a limited window, but yeah, like it's, I was reading something on Deadspin about this kind of thing, about the guy who did the voice for ESPN,
right.
That it always kind of goes like, all right, who is, like the corporate reaction is, who is name X? Get right. me name X. Get me someone who sounds like name X. And then back to, you know, who is name X.
Can I tell you, I cannot stand the voice of the guy that they'd use for ESPN.
I wouldn't even know what to say. I have not been watching ESPN
about,
in a while.
The same guy. The guy that'll say,
the guy who still outside, probably does, he does our legal ID.
Let me hear it.
Let me pull it up.
Legal?
Yeah, give me one second here.
I want to make sure we're talking about the same guy, because there's a voice that always does like the sponsor going into a break.
Yeah.
Outside the lines.
I think this is a little different. It might be the same. Let's see. Here we go.
So let me hear the legal whenever you have it.
Oh, let me hold up. I need to pop up the log. Once again, not on the right for a while.
All
right, here we go.
All good.
We are ESPN 106.5.
Not him?
No. He's fine. Like that. Good stuff. Good quality stuff. No, I'm talking about the guy who speaks so slowly and puts the N sound into every word.
He must be new. Yeah.
No. Since ESPN began.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he makes the N sound, the letter N sound in every word. Like the word outside will be out. You can hear the N. Outside the Lines is brought to you by Budweiser. That dude, I cannot explain it, and I cannot mimic it, but I've been listening to it for 20 years, or however long ESPN has been on television, because it's been there forever, and it's so slow, you know, no matter what it is, if it's a segment in the show, you know, if it's a segment of Sports Center, you know, Sports Science, and it's so slow, and it's so annoying. It's the opposite of Big Voice. It's just, it's like, if a voice could be Muzak, which is what is piped into dentist offices and elevators. If a spoken voice could be Muzak, it's Muzak. It's not big. It's just comforting. And it's annoying as all hell. That's not the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I probably couldn't tell you. My memory has been pretty shot.
I mean, the one you just played is fine. No issues at all. Love it. No, but I've always wanted to be just that guy because, just for those who don't know, a little inside radio here, the Big Voice guys, you know, image radio stations, essentially, you know, the ones that will do the show intros and the ones that will do the segment intros and the ones that will do the promos for a contest and whatnot. Those guys literally usually have their own studios. Now, I'm fine with that because I have my own studio as well. But they have their own studio, so they don't really have to go in anywhere. And what they do is they just have a little computer and they charge usually by the sheet, you know, like one sheet of reads. Or a certain number of promotional reads or whatever the case might be. And people from, you know, around the country just send them sheets of their reads, whatever the promo is. Like today, for example, we don't have a Big Voice thing for this, but I'm going to be giving away Mud Hens tickets today. I got Mud Hens tickets to the June 17th game, next Saturday, week from tomorrow, Fifth Third Field against Durham. It would be the guy that would, you know, come on and go, win a pair of Mud Hens tickets to the June 17th game at Fifth Third Field against Durham. Listen to the Bob France Extravaganza for your chance on ESPN. So there'll be a promo written out like that. And several of them. And maybe sometimes it might be a short paragraph, depending on what they're doing, if you know, what kind of imaging for the station. And they just sit there for maybe an hour a day, and they get these scripts sent to them. They just put their big golden pipes to work, and they big voice every radio station that contracts with them, and then they go play golf. It is the best job in radio. It's better than mine. It's better than Cushlin's. It's better than Chris Lemieux. Got to be there pushing all those buttons all the time, playing the commercials, reading the logs, getting the guests. It's the best job in radio. Just big voice guy. And I've always said to myself, if I could restart my career, I would never become a talk show host, and I would just be Big Voice guy. Because I feel like I could. When I'm not coughing like I sound like I smoke three packs a day, and I don't, but I just have a little respiratory allergy thing going on here, and it's making me cough. But when I'm not coughing, I feel like I have the pipes where I could get it done. And I just want to be that guy who sits in his own home studio, takes maybe an hour a day, reads, you know, several scripts for several different stations, into, you know, and they don't even have to be good, because all you do is just voice them and send them back to producers at radio stations, and then they do what they chop them up and do what they want with them. You know, they do the editing. But all you got to do is have the golden pipes and get the, you know, oh my God, you know what that reminds me of, Chris? Do you remember the dude a few years ago, who was homeless? Big old afro.
Yeah,
guy.
I know the guy. He was they had him on for like the 15 seconds of fame, and he had a pretty sad end. Yeah,
again, I think he wasn't he a crackhead.
I could not tell you, and I would not want to disparage the man. Yeah, I would not want to disparage the man. A lot of people end up homeless for various reasons.
No,
so
but his was a drug problem. I remember because the whole thing was, you know, this was his somebody. They were doing a story on, you know, homeless people and drug addicts or whatever it was. And then he just started talking to the interviewer, and everybody was like, oh, my God, listen to this guy. He sounds like he's in radio, and he should be for his entire life. I mean, just an amazing golden voice that I couldn't even touch, and most other people couldn't either. And then somebody was going to offer him a job, and I think he got offered a job in radio doing some voiceover work. But then if memory serves, he fell back down again. I cannot remember his name, and I think he just kind of fell right back to victim to his own addictions. But I can't remember what. But that's the point. If you've got the pipes, it's just kind of a natural God given talent, and God makes you speak how you speak. It's how Pavarotti can do what Pavarotti does. He's got the golden voice, and he worked at it for all of those years and became the sensation that he was. But if you have it for the spoken word, you have it made. You don't have to study. You don't have to watch games. You don't have to read stories. You don't have to interview people. You don't have to do the show prep. They send you a script. You read it with your golden tone. And they are, my goodness, best job in radio. Is that the best job in radio, Chris Lemieux, or am I off track?
I'm trying to think. Like, I see this is a tough one for me because
the phone out front probably.
Well,
the golden voice.
I don't think I've been able to tell you this, Bob, but this is probably the last time I'm on with you. Like, my dream job is radio adjacent, but I would like to be the guy kind of reporting on a lot of that stuff. I actually am
reporting on. What do you mean reporting on it?
I'm taking my graduate. I'm going to USC in July. And their master's
in California.
Yeah, master's in journalism. I was accepted there. Got a pretty big scholarship, and I am heading down there.
For your master's in journalism?
Yes.
Wow, dude, that is on scholarship, no less.
Yeah,
that's
and
outstanding.
I would not be able to attend without the scholarship, to be honest. So this pretty big for me.
That, believe me. I mean, just regular graduate, or, I mean, undergraduate degrees are ridiculous. You know, most people can't do it without significant financial aid / scholarship assistance. Good for you, man. So
thank you.
So anyway, continue.
No, that was it. Like, you know, and you know, I love doing sports stuff, but also news kind of interests me. So, I mean,
so what kind of reporter would you be? I mean, you said reporting on stuff. What are you talking about? On the scene, dude. On the scene at the game. On the scene at the White House. Reporting from the fire. What kind of reporting are you talking about?
That's a really good question. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, I've kind of grown up. I have, you know, one of my relatives has like one of Ernie Pyle's Zippo lighters that were famous. I grew up reading a lot of Hunter S. Thompson, so that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. I think
an
like
investigative reporter, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. I always
like
kind of
the
guys that can.
Guy that undercovered Watergate and shine the light on that.
We'll have to see. I don't know. It's kind of up my alley. That's still pretty dangerous as it is. But
yeah,
I think probably a good one too is just a guy who can they can throw to for one of these like daytime talk show things where they have like 80 different heads. And you know the great thing about
ESPN, one of those.
Sure. We're on
like
CNN.
Shelly Smith,
we're on CNN.
Shelly Smith is in Cleveland with the Cavaliers as they get ready for Game 4 tonight. Shelly.
Right.
Chris Lemieux is in Nashville with the Predators trying to stave off elimination in the Stanley Cup Finals. Chris, what do you got?
But I would say like, you know, we talk about this guy with the voice. He, I mean, his is dependent upon the voice. He could lose it whenever. Like, but if you get one of those things on, like, these panel shows, either in sports or in news, like, just look at how many guys are on, like, CNN who have been wrong about everything for the past 4 years, and they keep their jobs because they're just enshrined. All the op-ed columnists, Brett Stevens from Wall Street Journal, now at the New York Times, been wrong about everything, writes terrible, awful columns, not able to be right about anything, and they still keep their jobs. So, I mean, that's great, great career security right there, I think.
Yeah, I suppose so, but it's hard to build that. And it takes a whole lot of work, whether you're right or wrong, to do the research that you then write on to become essentially untouchable.
I don't know if Brett Stevens has been good or knowledgeable about anything his entire life. He just speaks to the right people in power and capital.
What I mean is he can't just sit in his office and make it up. He has to do the research, and then he can be wrong about what he says and how he presents it or whatever. But, I mean, in other words, in order to establish untouchable status, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. And I get your point. It would be nice to be able to be wrong all the time and just be paid to give your opinion. But even opinion givers have to do the work to kind of research and see what their opinion is going to be. This guy, though, hold on. Here, I found it. I found something here. His name is Ted Williams. How did we forget it was Ted Williams, for crying out loud? Named after one of the greatest hitters, if not the greatest hitter of all time. Or not named after, but namesake of.
I was about to say, we just got a caller in who identified him. He's like a figure down in Columbus.
That's what I'm checking on right now.
Yeah.
The most recent thing I found was from 2015, so 2 years ago now. The original discovery of him was January of 2011. And can you believe that was 6 years ago now? Or our lives are going too fast. January 2011, this is from NBC News. With few possessions other than a handwritten sign he clutched as cars whizzed by, Ted Williams stood in the cold at a busy intersection of Columbus, Ohio, looking for a miracle. Broke, homeless, standing on the corner. Addiction I knew it was an addiction. I remembered that much. He was a drug addict. Addiction kicking my butt. My family had given up on me. Trying to get his life back together, blah, blah, blah. Dispatch posted a video of Williams' attention-grabbing baritone voice. And overnight, Williams went viral. Got a haircut, a shave, offers for big-time work, including voicing commercials for Kraft Macaroni and Cheese and more. Now, nearly 5 years later, the man with the golden voice has another dream to give back to the homeless community in which he once languished, et cetera, et cetera. I want to open up a homeless laundromat. Now, I'm not seeing what he's doing today. So maybe that part of it was wrong. Maybe I heard that wrong, that he had fallen back.
I think he did, but he might have rebounded again.
So maybe he's
like,
gone back
yeah.
and forth a couple times?
Probably, because I do vaguely remember, like, if we're thinking about the same guy, I think I do remember, like, he did kind of fall off again and then got it back again, which, I mean, great for him.
Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe he did. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a more recent one. This is last year. January 2016, so 1 year later. What do we got here? From the Dispatch in Columbus, 5 years after viral video, Golden Voice Ted Williams comes full circle. I don't know what that means. Full circle from where he was would be back in the gutter again, because that would be 360-degree full circle. Hopefully he stopped at the 180 if he, you know, took another turn around and stopped at the 180 and is on the good side of life now. Yeah, and it looks like he is. This is as of last year, January of last year, so it's still a year and a half ago. But it says he is still speaking into a microphone and working, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to figure out where. Well, anyway, I don't want to dwell on it too much. I've already given it about 8 minutes of our show. But it's a cool story. It was a cool story in 2011. And it's even, if what you said is accurate and what I suspected I had heard was accurate, that he fell back down again. And then found a way to pull himself up and is back to working again and using that talent God gave him. And that's all it is. It's just a God-given voice. It's wonderful. And he's very, very, very successful at it when he is obviously working. Let's see here. Then that's good on him. He's now, let's see here. Well, I can't find the specifics about where he's working now, but it looks like he is back to working again, and maybe the full circle means he is, I think they mean a half circle, because he went at 180 and is now working. So good for him. Anyway, that's the job I want. I don't have his pipes, but I got pipes enough to do what the big voice guys do when they introduce shows like this one. All right. I think I successfully blew 20 minutes of our program out. That wasn't cool. But you know what? considering the fact that the NBA Finals is about to be over tonight, I don't know how much more I want to dwell on it anyway. You heard a lot of audio from LeBron, Ty Lue, J.R. Smith, who said, I didn't send that tweet that said Cavs in seven. Somebody hacked me. I mean, Chris, is your email, or not your email, your Twitter ever been hacked?
Nope. I keep my password pretty close to the chest. I don't think I've ever had that problem. No, not really. No. Well, and you know what?
Because isn't it amazing how many celebrities, after they tweet something stupid, claim, hacked! I got hacked!
Yeah, in that regard, I don't really buy it.
I don't know if many people actually had their Twitter hacked.
Like, I've seen people who I can say, okay, you got your Twitter hack, and I imagine people trying to crack into J.R. Smith's Twitter, who I think last I checked, he's like, what, got over 100,000 followers?
Yeah.
Probably a little more than mine, which is just south of 1,000.
Yeah,
so,
but generally speaking, people who follow him probably don't mean to do him harm, right?
I mean, probably not, but let me tell you, like, I've been on the internet all my life. People just like having a laugh at things. Yeah. They like trying to get one over.
You're going to hack into J.R. Smith's Twitter account.
Oh, sure. Like, yeah.
Aren't you going to do a little more damage than Cavs in seven?
Yeah, no. Like, I would absolutely, like, I mean, that was a Laramie Tunsil argument. Like, I think, the Laramie Tunsil, someone hacked into him. I believe someone hacked into him.
Well, yeah, he's not stupid enough to post that Darth Vader mask with bong smoke in it.
Yeah, it was like a World War I gas mask. Yeah,
yeah. That's a better description.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, J.R. Smith didn't get hacked. I'm not buying that one. Yeah.
I should have realized that's what kind of a mask it was when I saw Wonder Woman last weekend. I took my wife to Wonder Woman for our anniversary. It's what she really wanted to go and see, and it's a World War One picture, of course. But that's it. Those gas masks played a central role in that, and I kind of
yeah.
think that's what the Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, I watched that too. I'm actually trying to. I don't know. I was hit really in a weird place by that movie. So
really,
well, it's kind of hard to say because it reminded me way too much of a certain German opera, and I'm seeing if anyone's interested in like maybe trying to pitch this piece I've got. Working on, but it might be a little incoherent, and it's just.
Wait! You lost me.
Yeah, exactly.
Number one, you know about an opera.
Yes.
Number two, you know about a German opera.
Yeah.
Number three, does that mean that you speak German?
No.
And number four, what do you mean pitching a piece that you're working on? Are you writing an opera?
No, I'm working.
What the hell are you talking about?
freelance writing stuff. I've been trying to break into it, and this is just some cultural critique stuff. Yeah, like at my first university, I studied yeah. Richard Wagner and the Ring Cycle. So that would be like Der Walküre, Siegfried, and Götterdämmerung.
Gesundheit.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's a little heavy highbrow for, I imagine, the sports show right here.
All right. Well, that's interesting. That is it. Anywho, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, J.R. Smith said he was hacked.
Yeah, he wasn't
hacked. And all they did was say Cavs in seven. That is the most boring hacker ever. I'm not buying it, J.R. J.R. probably. I mean,
why not just own it?
Like, exactly.
Who was that one guy? Who was that one guy on
Twitter? Any aspersions here and suggest that he was drinking or something, but this was in the off day, the day after losing game three yesterday. Maybe, you know, you're allowed to do big boy things, grown-up things when you are on your own time, and maybe he just got a little bit out of his right mind and said, you know what, we're coming back. I don't care about 3-0. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care.
It's like this one guy.
Nobody ever did, but we can do it. I'm telling everybody. Cavs in seven. I mean, why explain some of Donald Trump's tweets? It's as bad as any other.
Well, who was it? There was a guy on Twitter yesterday who was getting routinely panned. I think he's a news reporter for Newsweek. It was discovered he took a screenshot of his computer screen, and one of the tabs was for like a Japanese hentai porn comic. But here's the thing, like, okay, that's happened before to reporters. Some other guy posted a Pornhub link, and he just came out and owned it later. This guy didn't. He weaved, like, some crazy story about, no, I was trying to explain to my family what tentacle porn is, that it exists. And it's like, no, dude, no one's buying this.
Have you ever had, like, if not full-on porn, but, lingerie model types ever pop-ups ever come up on your screen?
Oh, yeah. I got in trouble for that one time when we had, like, adware and malware on my old computer, and I got in trouble for it when I was like 15 or so.
Well, I didn't get in trouble for it because it happened just a few years ago. Like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. I didn't get in trouble for it, but because I didn't screenshot anything. I couldn't make it go away for the longest because you know what it was? Is I invited it. I mistakenly opened up, and you know how it is. They tell you about emails. I opened up an email that I shouldn't have, and I clicked a link that I shouldn't have, and it had no reference to any of that, but that's what opened, and that gave it my, you know, I don't know how the internet works, how code works or whatever it is, but when you click and open something and then you see what it is, you're like, oh, crap, doesn't matter how fast you close that window, you're in now, and they've got you, and then you start to see these things pop up on a regular basis because the computer or the programmers or the hackers or the spammers or a combination thereof then start sending you things that they think you're interested in. So spam that normally goes to your spam mail if you've got a good email account, and, you know, of course, if you got the right adware blocker and malware, blah, 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 you don't get these things. But some if one of those makes a way through to your inbox and you click it not knowing what it is and then you find out what it is, sometimes it can be with you for a long time. And I don't know if that's the tale or that this guy was able to weave, who was trying to explain the hentai thing or whatever it is.
Nah, this guy's had a long line of lying. I remember he was on, I think he was on Tucker Carlson a while back, and he embarrassed himself. Kurt Eichenwald, he's this Newsweek reporter, and he's been in trouble for lying for more than a few times. So I don't really buy him sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, if you've got a history there and you've established yourself in that way, then you're right. It's probably not very reliable. All right, tell you what, let's get a quick time out here. We'll try to get this train back on its tracks. Although the J.R. Smith story is part of the news story today, I think we kind of even steered away from that. You heard from LeBron, Ty Lue, and J.R. Smith about the game tonight. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, who I really don't want to hear anymore ever. Draymond, coattail rider, shut up. You're not that good. You are in the luckiest place on earth. And, yes, I realize you come from Sparty. Yes, I realize there are a lot of Sparties who are Spartan fans who don't like me saying that right now. But Draymond Green, I dislike you immensely. You're one of my least favorite players in the NBA. You know, by the way, your teammate Steph Curry is another one. We want to get into that. We can. And speaking of Sparty, and this is really the bad news, you also heard there some of the comments about the Michigan State terrible situation. I don't know what to call it, a tragedy or a travesty. But 3 Michigan State football players, as you know, have been dismissed from the team, and worse for them yet, they have been charged with sexual assault on campus. And while everyone is innocent until proven guilty in the United States in a court of law, in the court of public opinion, it's very, very different. This is ugly, and it's problematic. And we're going to talk about it with Kyle Austin coming up at 4:05. Get a quick timeout now. Oh, and by the way, did you know that Ohio State has a new football or a new basketball coach? Tim Shoemaker of 11Warriors.com, formerly of the Columbus Dispatch, will be joining us to talk about the new Ohio State basketball coach, Chris Holtmann. That is coming up right after this timeout on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Back to the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Rolling on, are we? Thanks for joining us for this extravaganza on a Friday afternoon. Having a little bit of fun, a little bit of silliness in the first half hour now. A little bit more serious. Who is Chris Holtmann? If you said he's the new head basketball coach at the Ohio State University, you would be correct. But beyond that, what do you know about Chris Holtmann? I don't know much either. That's why we're joined now by somebody who does. Thanks very much to Tim Shoemaker from 11Warriors.com, formerly of the Columbus Dispatch, as well, with a little bit of insight on the Buckeyes' new courtside boss, Mr. Shoemaker. Good. I almost said good morning. It's afternoon on a Friday. The weekend has almost started. What am I thinking? Hey, Tim, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, man. Real good. We're good. Thanks for spending the time. All right. This didn't take long. Surprise you that before we get into Holtmann, did it surprise you that this nationwide search that Gene Smith announced just 3 days ago is over already and they got a new guy under contract?
To be honest, not really. Just because of the timing of this whole thing, you don't see major college basketball programs make coaching changes in June. It's just not something that happens often. And there really isn't much of a, you know, Gene was in a time crunch here because not only did he have to find a head coach, that coach has to fill out a staff. They've got to formulate a plan, all this stuff, because the first week of July is the biggest recruiting month essentially of the year for college basketball. There's several live evaluation periods that go on. So If Ohio State and Gene wanted to make the move, they had to do it so they had enough time to fill out a staff, get a guy, fill out a staff, to hit the ground running recruiting, in July. So when he decided to make this move here, on Monday, you kind of got the feeling that, if he was going to do it, that he had somebody or a couple guys in mind who he had maybe spoken to, just to kind of gauge interest before he made the move so that he could get this done really, really quickly. And, yeah, it was 4 days, I think it happened.
Yeah.
The announcement was made Monday afternoon, and, Friday morning, Ohio State had a new head coach. So, it was super quick. I think that was obviously done with the intent of, you know, getting him hired here, getting him here. The next step will be filling out a staff, and then, you know, they're going to hit the ground running.
Okay, so given that, as you point out correctly, that it's rare to make a coaching change in June, and then you do have to move quickly, as you say, for the recruiting period in July, Tim, why did they make this change now? I mean, the proverbial, hey, he's our guy for next year from Gene Smith came right before the end of the season, and, a couple of months later, bang, they called it a mutual agreement between Thad Matta and themselves. What is your understanding? Why did this happen now?
Yeah, it certainly caught a lot of people by surprise because, as you mentioned, you know, at the end of the year, Gene said that Thad will be the, you know, head coach at Ohio State. You know, they have full confidence in him. His track record kind of speaks for itself, which it does. You know, he was 13 years in Columbus, the winningest coach in program history. You know, I don't have to rattle off the accomplishments. They're pretty well known. He's one of the best coaches, you know, in the Big Ten and in college basketball. But for the second straight off, and this is what Gene kind of, said at the press conference on Monday. For the second straight off season, there was a lot of, things that went poorly for Ohio State in the off season. As you know, last year they had four players transfer, from the end of the season to the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And this off season they had, a player transfer, an early departure to the NBA, a player essentially just quit the team, and then they also had a player who was committed, verbally committed to play for Ohio State, publicly decommits, and not only just decommits, you know, that happens kind of frequently in college sports, but he came out, this kid came out publicly and said some things negatively about Ohio State that weren't really a great look for the program.
Mm-hmm.
They continued to miss on adding potential late prospects to their 2017, their incoming recruiting class, and they didn't land any graduate transfers or transfers to the program. So you couple all those things together, and it was the second straight off season kind of where it was just Ohio State just looked really, really bad from a perception standpoint. And Gene said that, you know, essentially declining results coupled with the fact that they're really – he didn't see – it getting better under Thad Matta. Essentially, they missed on the recruiting. They lost the players. He didn't see kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. So he decided to make this move. And he said that, and Thad and he both said that they came to an agreement that, hey, maybe it was time to warrant a change.
We're talking with Tim Shoemaker of 11warriors.com, a tremendous Ohio State fan site. And Tim, what's interesting here, we talked about how fast they moved. You know, 4 days later, there's a guy under contract and ready to go. But he wasn't their first choice. Right there at 11warriors.com, you wrote that Ohio State thought they had their guy when they offered the job to Creighton's Greg McDermott as early as Wednesday. So just 2 days after pulling the trigger on Matta, they've got an offer that went out. So first of all, what can you tell us about that? Why did Greg McDermott turn down the Ohio State University to stay at Creighton, of all places? And what do you think that says about the signing now of Coach Holtman?
Well, yeah, I actually think that the more I've learned about this, I actually think that Chris Holtman was one of the top candidates for this job. As I hear more and more come out about this kind of search that was wild and crazy and fast and all kinds of information was being leaked from all different places, I believe Holtman was one of the first guys that they approached about this job, but he originally, now I'm not sure the reason of this yet, but he originally said thanks, but no thanks to Ohio State, whether it was a lack of, he wasn't happy with what they were offering, whether he didn't want to rush into a decision because, as we talked about earlier, Gene wanted this done quickly. And this is obviously a huge decision that needs to be made. And maybe he didn't want to do it so quickly, you know? So he kind of initially said thanks, but no thanks for whatever reason it was. So Ohio State moved on. And they went to Greg McDermott from Creighton. They interviewed Buzz Williams at Virginia Tech. It was reported that they did offer Greg McDermott the job. I don't know exactly what, you know, salary was and all those kind of things, the details of that contract that they offered him. But he turned it down. I don't know the reason for that, whether it was he got a raise from Creighton to kind of to stay there, or maybe he didn't really just have, you know, maybe he just really didn't want to leave.
Does it sound kind of like a metaphor for one of the reasons why Mata is gone? Because they talked about, you know, the recruiting just isn't there. They're not getting the big ticket recruits, the big, you know, the blue chip guys. It's one of the problems with the way Ohio State is right now. In addition to players leaving, as you detailed, they're not getting the, you know, the very best coming in. And now they're going after, in their mind, the very best coach, who pretty much said the same thing that a lot of recruits have said, and that is, nah, I'm good somewhere else.
Yeah, kind of. That's a good point. I never thought of it like that. But yeah, they Holtman, for whatever reason, you know, said thanks but no thanks. I don't think he wanted to rush into a decision. So they moved on. And Greg McDermott, you know, said no. He has his reasons for that. And it was kind of a good thing for Ohio State, obviously, because after that happened, they kind of turned the heat back up on Chris Holtman. They said, hey, you know, this is our guy. This is the guy we wanted originally. You know, let's go out and get him, do whatever it takes to get him. So they turned the heat up. They offer him a huge 8-year deal. That's a huge commitment, obviously. But at the same time, you know, he was under contract at Butler for, I think, the next 7 or 8 years. He had just signed an extension after this season. So they kind of had to match that.
Sure.
And in the end, you know, that's just too much of an opportunity for Chris to pass up. They nearly tripled his salary per year. He has unlimited resources and things available at Ohio State, which is, you know, despite the struggles on the court, it's still a top 15, top 20 job in college basketball because of all the money, all the resources, the, you know, the fertile recruiting base, all that kind of stuff. So, I think maybe it was kind of a thing where, they took a step back after the McDermott thing went down, and they were like, reassessed where they were and, went out and got the guy that I think that one of the guys that they really, really wanted all along.
Yeah, and just to kind of throw an interesting stat up there from your own work there at 11warriors.com, Tim Shoemaker joining us. Kind of interesting company that that Chris Holtman finds himself in. 70-31 in three seasons with Butler. That's a .693 winning clip. But the interesting company is Roy Williams, John Calipari, and Mike Bray. Three pretty doggone well-known and well-respected coaches. The only other active coaches besides Chris Holtman to lead their teams to an NCAA tournament win in each of their first three seasons. So that's pretty good company. It doesn't tell the whole story, obviously, but it is pretty good company to say this guy knows how to turn a program around, or he knows how to win quickly, even if it doesn't need all the way turned around.
No, absolutely. And you know, he is one of the young, hot coaches that you hear, that you had heard tied to every job that's come open for the last year or two. Excuse me. He was in that, you know, you heard his name mentioned with Archie Miller when Archie was at Dayton before he went to IU. You hear Xavier's Chris Mack. You heard all these guys. You know, it was like Shaka Smart back when he was at VCU. You heard these names come up every time a job opened. And, you know, Chris was tied to the Tennessee and Georgia Tech and NC State and Missouri jobs recently, as recent as this past year. Just because he is one of those young coaches that has shown that he can build a program and win at a really high level. I mean, Butler's in the Big East. That's no, you know, they're not a mid-major program anymore. So he did a really, really good job in what was kind of a crazy situation. He took over as an interim head coach when, you know, he was an assistant on staff, and Brandon Miller, the head coach at Butler, had to take a medical leave of absence, and Chris came in, and all he did was just accomplish whatever those stats that you just rattled off right there. So,
are you good with this hire, Tim, compared to, and I think it's fair to call him, he's an up-and-comer, You say, very, very in demand because of his youth and because of his upside and, you know, a lot of tremendous things to like about him, but obviously very young in this thing. Are you okay with that versus, you know, a larger-than-life superstar-type figure? And what I mean by that is, you know, just 2 days ago, the Dispatch reported that Bob Huggins was among those getting some attention. Huggy Bear obviously has tremendous success here in the state of Ohio. He's had tremendous success at West Virginia, and, you know, it was thought that he might really covet the opportunity to go to Columbus, but obviously that offer never came. Are you okay with that? And then how would you have felt had they gone that direction?
Yeah, I am. I think that, you know, given the circumstances with this Ohio State job, the fact that it opened in June, and there's just not a lot of time and a lot of people who are in the college ranks anyway, you know, looking to leave their program, leave their team this late in the process. So given the circumstances, I think that Ohio State hired a coach that was about as good of a candidate that they were going to realistically get. You know, you hear those names, Billy Donovan floated around, Sean Miller was thrown out there. Like those just to me didn't.
Although
those
the Arizona
seem like
AD put that to bed quickly over my dead body, which was awesome.
Those to me kind of seemed like pipe dreams. Like those were never going to happen. You know, I thought that they had a realistic chance to get Chris Mack from Xavier, and Chris Holtman, when this job first opened, he was one of the guys that I mentioned as a top three candidate, a realistic candidate for this position. So yeah, I think that they absolutely did about as well as they could given the circumstances. When it comes to a guy like Huggins, while I do think it would have been a good hire, fact of the matter, he's like 65 years old, I think. And he's battled his health problems of his own. I don't know how much longer he's going to coach. Mm-hmm. I think Gene and Ohio State wanted to make a long-term commitment, which they showed by giving Chris Holtman an 8-year contract. I think if you hire Bob Huggins, you're looking for a new coach in 3 or 4 years because he's going to, leads me to believe he's going to retire soon. He's almost 70 years old. He'll be 70 in 5 years. So I think Ohio State wanted to offer a long-term, a younger coach. And the guys that they interviewed were all either in their mid-40s, low-50s. So I think I'm pretty – if I were an Ohio State fan, I would be pretty, pretty satisfied with Chris Holtman as the new head coach. Like I said, it's about as well as they could have done given these circumstances.
And I think that's well explained and well argued. Really appreciate the time, Tim. Thanks so much for the great work at 11warriors.com. Buckeye fans love that, and thanks for explaining it to us here right here in Toledo as well on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Have a great one. There you go. So Chris Holtman is the guy. Tim Shoemaker broke it down for you. New coach at Ohio State. He's from Butler. Had 3 really tremendous years. Won about 70% of his games. Won a tournament game in each of his first 3 years. You heard the company that he keeps in that regard. And that is very, very special indeed. So congratulations to Chris Holtman. He is the new boss of the Buckeyes. And we'll see how that goes. And we'll see how quickly he can put that staff together in order to get ready for the recruiting live periods, especially as he pointed out, Tim pointed out, that come in the month of July. Okay, I want to do a couple of things here before the top of the hour. Sports Center, and one of them is give away Mud Hens tickets. Remember I told you the big voice guy might say, you know what, I'm not doing it. I just can't find it. I can't find the big voice right now because I'm still dealing with this cough. But the big voice guy would say in a deeper voice than this one that I do have a pair of Mud Hens tickets for you, and I'll give 2 of them away as a matter of fact because I got a bunch, and they're for next Saturday, not tomorrow, next Saturday, the 17th at Fifth Third Field against Durham. Callers 8 and 9, how does that sound? Callers 8 and 9 get a pair of tickets to the game next Saturday against Durham at Fifth Third Field. So good luck to you from your friends here at ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. On the other side of the Sports Center that's coming up here at the top of the hour, we're going to get into a story that I wish we didn't have to get into because a terrible crime was committed, allegedly, and 3 Michigan State football players have been accused of that terrible crime. They've been kicked off of the team, and they've been charged. Donnie Corley and Josh King were both arraigned this week on sexual assault charges. That was Wednesday morning. And a third Michigan State player is also charged, and all 3, again, have been booted from the program at Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio made that very, very clear, and you've heard some very impassioned statements being made by the leadership at Michigan State, including the athletic director, saying This is not supposed to be. We are supposed to be a safe campus, and this will not be tolerated. Obviously, this kind of thing shouldn't be tolerated anywhere, but it's very personal to those on the campus at East Lansing, and we're going to get into the bottom of this, or get to the bottom of this as much as we can at this stage. Kyle Austin is a beat writer who covers the Spartans for MLive.com. We'll talk to him coming up next right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Obviously, you know, I hate the fact that, you know, we're not able to, you know, just try to keep the leads, and if I come out the game, or not even keep the leads, just sustain it. I hate it for my teammates. I hate it for myself. I hate it for everybody that's involved. It was another one of those instances, you know, I came out with 143, I believe, in the first quarter. We up 31-29, and then, you know, they went on a quick 10-0 run. You know, and against a team like this, those type of runs, you can't afford. And like you said, throughout the course of the regular season or throughout the course of the postseason, you know, we just got to find better ways, you know, as a collective unit, having the right pieces out on the floor, or the guys on the floor, they have to do their job. Something we have to figure out. Is it fair? I don't care. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, it's great for our league. I mean, right now, look at our TV ratings. Look at the money our league is pouring in. I mean, guys are loving the game. Our fans love the game. I mean, who am I to say if it's fair or not? No matter who am I going against, if I'm going against four Hall of Famers or whatever the case may be, I'm always excited to play the game, and I'm not one to judge or say if it's fair or not if guys are adding, you know, players to their team. Is it fair that the New York Yankees in the 90s was adding piece after piece after piece after piece? If you have the opportunity to do that, is it fair that the Cowboys added Deion Sanders? I mean, it happens. It's sports. Have an opportunity to sign one of the best players, and you can do it, go ahead and do it. Why not? If I become an owner, I'm going to try to sign everybody.
I mean, we've made some mistakes coming down the stretch that we know we have to be better with. We had talked about before, you know, you can't make these mistakes against this team. You know, they're too good. You know, every time you make a mistake, they make you pay. Our fight, the way we competed, was great. We come out with that same effort on Friday. I feel confident we get a win.
I didn't tweet it. My Twitter got hacked. Somebody posted it. I was in the shower when the tweet went out. I believe it. I'm just glad they didn't tweet nothing crazy.
It wasn't you, but you could have brought
it. I could see myself saying that, for sure. Absolutely. I'm just glad they did that instead of something dumb. Yeah, we're coming back. I wouldn't be me if I didn't think that.
This could turn. If we come out there thinking we won a championship already, we haven't, and they're still champions, and we got to go take it.
I'm blessed to have another opportunity at this thing. This is something that's not guaranteed for any basketball player to have one more step on that ladder to get to where we want to go. I am focused and driven to take advantage of the moment.
Obviously, won it here before, and it's a great feeling, you know, winning on somebody else's floor, celebrating on their floor, celebrating in their locker room, you know, quiet in their crowd. As an athlete, one of the best feelings is going into an opposing enemy territory and just silent. In that crowd. At the end of the day, it don't matter where you win it at, as long as you can win it. I think we'll get their best shot tomorrow. You know, closeout games are always the hardest. This is a team that's going to come out and say we're down 3-0, we're laying down. They're going to come out and fight.
In response to the charges, Josh King, Donnie Corley, and Dimitri Vance have been dismissed from our program effective immediately. We emphasize that success on the field is not enough. They also must embrace our core principles, which include integrity, as Mark talked about, respect, accountability, trust, and communication. The individual in this case put themselves in a compromising position, did not live up to the standards we have outlined for this program. Sexual assault has no place in this community. Like Mark, I have had two daughters that have gone to school here. I understand the importance that last statement has in their lives and the lives of so many others here at Michigan State. This is and has been an extremely challenging situation that we've taken very seriously throughout the entire process. It has affected everyone in this program, top to bottom.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, 10 minutes after 4 is hour number 2 is underway on this Friday afternoon edition of the Extravaganza. Thanks for being with us. We are Toledo Sports Leader. You know, it's so strange when I listen to all of these statements being made by coaches and by athletic directors, et cetera, in East Lansing, and talking about how sexual assault is not permitted here at Michigan State. Sexual assault is taken very seriously here at Michigan State. Do we need to add that caveat? I know they're representing the university. I get it, but it just sounds so bizarre, as if that stuff happens somewhere else, well, that's on them, but it won't happen here. You know, how about just sexual assault is a horrific crime for which people should be imprisoned for many, many years? Sexual assault, rape, sexual battery, whatever you want to call it. It's not acceptable ever, anywhere, least of all here on our campus. And we're going to do everything we can to cooperate with authorities to make sure that that justice is done for the victim here. And whether the player or whether the individuals involved who are guilty are our players or not. This is just reprehensible. It's just strange how we kind of couch everything with the campus on which this happens. We all saw what happened at Baylor, just a multitude of complaints and allegations of sexual assaults and rapes and other things going on that the athletic program turned a blind eye to. To me, that athletic program, and I do understand, again, we are talking about their campus, that athletic program willfully having their head in the sand. I mean, you would almost have to intentionally not look to see that many things happening. I don't think that's going to be the case from what we find out here at Michigan State, but let's talk about it together. It's a terrible story I wish we didn't have to do on a sports show or anywhere else, but here it is. A lot of Spartan fans in our listening audience, obviously, maybe some alums. So let's get into this with Kyle Austin. Kyle Austin is a Michigan State beat writer joining us right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Kyle, thanks for your time. It's a terrible story, one I'm sure you probably wish you weren't covering either. Am I right?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, it's certainly a terrible story and quite the change from what us get right about sports up here in East Lansinger are used to writing about from the last couple of years. You know, we've gone from kind of the most prosperous period in this program's history, you could argue, to about the worst 12 months or one of the worst 12-month periods you could pretty much imagine.
Yeah, that's very well said. It's really sad when that kind of thing happens. I guess no campus is immune to it because, you know, no group of people is going to include choir boys and saints, you know, when you have this many people. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily speak to the university. It doesn't speak to the recruiters when you look at character, unless people have had a history of things in high school. But you just never know when these kinds of things are going to happen, when individuals who are not necessarily morally centered decide to do these terrible things, and then the university is left to deal with the backlash. So let's talk about some of that backlash. First of all, give us some background, Kyle, since you're covering it. What can you tell us about the allegations against these three players, Donnie Corley, Josh King, Demetric Vance, all charged with sexual assault in some form or another? What can you tell us about the allegations themselves?
Well, we found out this week that they stem from an alleged January incident. It happened during a party at an apartment on campus, during which, and stop me if I get too graphic at any point, but police allege that one of the players, Josh King, basically pulled a female that he knew into a bathroom and penetrated her against her will. And then he later invited two other team members, Donnie Corley and Demetric Vance, into the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And the female in question was then violated, yes. That's what police allege. That's really all we've heard. We don't know the entire police report. And it's worth mentioning during the when they were arraigned, that all three say that they're being falsely accused. One of the lawyers said that this was a consensual situation. So that's kind of where things stand. Preliminary hearings coming here in the next couple of weeks. These guys were just arraigned a couple of days ago here.
Obviously, though, enough evidence does exist to at least generate the charge. These three are being charged with sexual assault, third-degree criminal sexual charges. Is that against all three of them? Because I thought I had read yesterday, or maybe it was on Wednesday, that one of them or two of them had different charges than the third. Are they all facing the exact same third-degree criminal sexual assault charges?
Well, they all three are facing third degree, but Josh King, the one who I guess you could say police allege initiated it, he also has a charge of first degree, which in the state of Michigan carries a maximum sentence of life in prison. And prosecutors say that's because he aided and abetted. So basically that he got two other people involved in the alleged act. So that's where it stands. And, you know, we're saying that, you know, this happened in January. We got charged this week. So you're talking about an investigation of, you know, nearly 5 months, really. Pretty thorough investigation.
Yeah, that's kind of important to note, too. And, in fact, reading from your own reporting at MLive.com, Kyle, we're talking to Kyle Austin, who covers Michigan State for MLive. Reading from your own report, King was interviewed by police on January 26, 10 days after the alleged incident. He denied having any sexual contact at all with anyone at the party. then later admitted to having sexual contact with this alleged victim in the bathroom. I'm not asking you to be a lawyer or a judge or a juror, but if that is accurate, automatically the credibility of this particular football player comes into question. At first, he says, nope, didn't touch anybody. Then probably DNA was made apparent to him. Somebody told him there was, that this was the situation. And then he admits, okay, I did it, but she wanted it. It was a consensual thing. Credibility is a huge issue when you're talking about stories like this.
You would certainly think that that is something the prosecutors are going to bring up. I can tell you that, you know, one thing that did come up during during court hearings and arraignments this week is that there does exist a video of the alleged incident taken. So I think partially what happened, and I believe what happened with at least one of them, is that they initially denied it and then were made aware that police have a video. Now they have a video, and they also have a text message chain, a group message between them that apparently, according to police, contains some incriminating information. So it sounds like what happened.
Hold on, a group text message between among the trio of accused individuals?
That's right, among the trio and one other person that police say contains, you know, incriminating evidence that would suggest that this act was committed. So if I'm understanding correctly, what happens is basically they confront them, they ask them if they did it. All three of them originally said no, and then I think they were presented with some of these things from their phones, you know, videos and text messages, I think they... that's kind of when the story ended up changing a little
bit. I jumped to DNA evidence, but maybe they didn't even get that far. They just probably were presented with the phone evidence, which, of course, they knew existed. It was on King's phone, again, according to your reporting. And the victim says that she did not consent to this. What has been the reaction on the East Lansing campus, particularly among other athletes? And I don't know if you've had a chance to talk or hear from other players, former teammates of these guys. Obviously, we heard the statements from Mark D'Antonio and from the athletic director and some other powers that be. But what has been the reaction of the student body or certainly from the football team there at MSU?
Well, it was a unique situation because Michigan State announced that this was ongoing and did not name the three players under investigation back in February. Mm-hmm. And their names were, you know, made at the certain message boards, so some people knew, but it wasn't reported in the media because of the type of crime that it was. Their names were made secret. So basically, and they were suspended, but basically the entire team basically went into a media lockdown. They didn't have any spring availabilities. And they did very little publicly, but basically everybody on the team, nobody's name was cleared, if that makes sense. You had the whole roster, and they said, okay, three of these people are suspended because of an alleged sexual assault, but we're not telling you who. So I think there were some players that were a little bit frustrated that, you know, everybody to a certain extent, a little bit, was kind of dragged into this. And I think the whole program, Mark D'Antonio used the phrase that the whole program was painted with a broad brush. That's how he feels about it, at least. But a very long investigation involving three unnamed players kind of put everybody into the same pool, so to speak.
That's kind of how I introduced you in this story, you know, right. Because that's what happens. Programs can indeed be painted with a broad brush. And again, I'm trying to be very fair to everybody here when I say this. When you're recruiting guys, sure, you look for 40 times, and sure, you look for strength and their ability on the football field. You're supposed to also look for character, and you're supposed to make sure you're bringing in good, upstanding citizens and students. But sometimes you can't tell what somebody's character is if there isn't a history of it, unless there's something that would indicate this sort of thing is possible, in which case, of course, you stop recruiting them and say, you would not fit the mold at our school. We don't recruit people like that. It's not fair, in my estimation, to blame the head coach unless there was something. Now, maybe there is. Maybe we'll find out later on that they were suspended from school for lewd things or something of that nature in high school, and maybe, hey, the antenna should have been up. The radar should have gone off and said, hey, this is a bad seed. Don't bring this guy or that guy in. But until you do that, it's kind of hard to blame the entire university, the football coach, or the football program for the actions of these individuals, especially since the football program and the leadership seem to be cooperating fully, and maybe you can shine some light on that, Was there any pushback from the university to try to keep this quiet? Was there any pushback from the university to try to deny the existence of this situation, or have they been cooperating all along?
Well, the only wrongdoing that's been found on behalf of the university is that their former recruiting director, who was the recruiting director at the time, apparently when he became aware of the allegation, he talked to the three players in question and had conversations with them, and then did not report his conversations to the Title IX office or to authorities or anything like that, which, if you know, the laws about mandatory reporting in college campuses, you know that that's a violation. Right. And he was suspended for a long time, and eventually his contract wasn't renewed. But that's really all they found. Michigan State did an entire external investigation by a private law firm into whether everybody else followed policy. It found that they did. Mark Antonio was actually the person that this was reported to, and he immediately recognized what was happening. He immediately stopped the player that was telling him and told the right people and didn't investigate further. So Mark Antonio, by all accounts and all the information that we have, did everything that he was supposed to. And as opposed to some of the other, you know, instances we've seen, whether it's at Baylor or Penn State, there's no indication at Michigan State that anybody really tried to cover it up. There's really just one indication of somebody not reporting correctly. As far as bringing guys onto campus, I tend to agree with what you said. You know, coaches are limited. I mean, and Mark Antonio said this week, I can't predict the future. And I think there's certainly some truth to that. I mean, they look as far as what they can into these guys, but, you know, you're limited in how well you get to know them. People are going to do what they do, especially, you know, young kids in this environment, being in the situations that they are. When they're not in the football building, there's only so much you can control. And I think that's kind of what Michigan State's been trying to say to people that are calling for jobs and other crazy stuff around here. I mean, it's unfortunate, and you try to do everything you can to not prevent it from happening. But at a certain point, you have to trust that these kids are going to do the right thing when they're not in your control.
Yeah, and I mentioned Baylor before, Kyle. You know, if this is something that happens multiple times, you can certainly then look and say, my God, what's going on with the football program? Why are people turning their heads? Why aren't you being more careful about who you recruit, et cetera, et cetera? Are you covering things up, et cetera? But to our knowledge, this is, you know, this isn't a common thing. It isn't a recurring thing where Mark D'Antoni or anybody else should be judged for the actions of multiple people. In this case, it's, you know, this case and this alone, and I think it's only fair to point that out to everybody. Last thing, and then we'll let you go, Kyle, and we appreciate your time. Kyle Austin covers Michigan State for MLive.com. If you look online at social media, and even in some of the comment sections on MLive, you see the school rivalries coming into play here. Michigan State fans alleging that Michigan fans are using this to take swipes at Michigan State and to maybe try to tell recruits, you know, you certainly don't want to go there. That's the, you know, the sexual assault campus, et cetera. No discipline.
106.5 The Ticket. Right now, traffic. Sponsored by SuperFitnessToledo.com. This Father's Day, give Dad the gift that keeps giving. A membership to Super Fitness for only $19.95 down and $19.95 a month.
75 northbound before 475 at the Toledo split there. Accident, right lane is blocked. Also, Alexis between Monroe and Whiteford. There's a rollover accident. That's your right now traffic.
Jim Cushlin here for ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Checking in once again from York Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on the Central Avenue Strip. Drive and Discover event going on right now. Everyone, yeah, everyone can lease a new load of 2017 Dodge Journey GTs. All-wheel drive, just $188 a month. Our new 2017 Ram Express 4x4s, that's $192 a month. And don't miss the $188 a month again on those Journeys. It is a fantastic deal. Lots of other deals where those came from, like a 2017 Jeep Cherokee Limited 4x4. Everyone gets up to $8,000 off MSRP. And then you have a 2017 Dodge Challenger. Yeah, that's here too. $172 a month for 24 months. 2016, they still have some of those. Chrysler 200S. Everyone getting 10,000 off MSRP and 7,000 off MSRP on the new Chrysler 2017 300S, and the deals keep getting better and better from there. Jim Cushman here for ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, hanging out here at York Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Central Avenue Strip Drive and Discover event going on right now. It goes on for a couple more hours tonight, but I'm only here till 5, so not much more time to come on out and see me.
The warm weather is here, and Battery Wholesale reminds you they sell more than just car batteries. If you need a new battery for your boat, jet ski, motorcycle, scooter, golf cart, or lawn equipment, Battery Wholesale has it. Find the location nearest you at BatteryWholesaleOnline.com. Battery Wholesale, powering your portable life.
Great food that's good for you? It doesn't get any better. In fact, one bite and you'll be a shawarmaholic. Shawarmaholic serves delicious shawarma. Slow roasted beef steak or chicken breast or gyros. Shawarmaholic also serves up homemade hummus, salad, kebabs, grape leaves, falafel, and more. All meat is from ethically treated animals in the halal tradition, located on Secor Road, close to Central Avenue. Are you a shawarmaholic?
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. And right now, you can get 5 quarts of Castrol conventional motor oil and an STP filter for just $23.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Alcatraz Gentlemen's Club, now open Tuesday through Saturday. Alcatraz Gentlemen's Club, Telegraph Road, just 5 miles north of the state line. Alcatraz Gentlemen's Club, lowest cover charge in the area and no pasties. Alcatraz Gentlemen's Club, closed Sunday and Monday.
Come to the Home Depot for the start of something big. The Ryobi One Plus family of tools. Right now, the Ryobi 18-volt brushless string trimmer is just $149, and the Ryobi Jet fan blower, just $119. And every OnePlus battery starts up to 70 other tools, so you could start quite a collection. Start today with Ryobi OnePlus tools, exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Get to JCPenney's Love Dad Sale and find the perfect gifts for Dad this Father's Day. This Friday through Saturday, make his day with great spotlight deals like select solid St. John's Bay polos, just $8.99, shorts for $12.99, and 50% off exertion apparel for him. Plus, save $10 when you spend $25 or more with coupon on select items throughout the store and at JCP.com. Hurry in now. Father's Day is June 18th. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon valid 6/7 to 6/13. Some exclusions apply. See store or JCP.com for details.
Bernor Insurance and Appraisal says thousands of children are reported missing each year. Please help prevent the abduction of children by keeping a watchful eye out for their safety. This message from Bernor Insurance and Appraisal at 316 North Michigan Avenue in Toledo. They have 100 years of appraisal experience and offer quick, risk-free quotes with a proven track record of reducing costs. For details, call 419-243-6108. For Bernor Insurance and Appraisal, they're on the air because they care about our children.
A lot of things can go wrong with your basement. Structure of the foundation, cracked walls, bowing or settling walls, blocks that have deteriorated and crumbled and snapped structural members. The good news is Toledo Basement Repair can fix all of these, including that crumbled block you thought was a lost cause. Toledo Basement Repair can even lift your house to repair damaged walls. And we have 4 different water systems to fix your basement. Call Toledo Basement Repair, 419-297-6138. 419-297-6138.
Addiction to prescription pain pills or the illegal opiates, heroin, or fentanyl is dangerous and can cause overdose or death. When someone is addicted to prescription pain pills or heroin, it becomes the reason they get up in the morning and why they fall asleep at night. It's what they're thinking of all day, every day. If you or someone that is close to you has an opiate addiction problem, don't delay. Seek help. Call the 211 Helpline. If you suspect that a person is experiencing an overdose, call 911 immediately.
Brought to you by UMIDOP with funding provided by Mental Health and Recovery Services Board, Lucas County.
A quick check of your weather from the Dunn Chevy Buick Weather Center, DunnChevy.com, where a great deal is a done deal. Chevy, find new roads. Partly cloudy for the remainder of your Friday. A stray shower thunderstorm is possible. 81 for the summer-like high. Partly cloudy tonight, low of 62. Then it gets hot for the weekend. Mostly sunny, 89 on Saturday. And we hit the 90s on Sunday. Sunny skies, 91.
Toledo's sports leader,
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
I'm Jim Cushlin with your local Sports Center update. Start in the NBA, possibly the last NBA game this season. Cavs, Warriors, game four of the finals from the Q in Cleveland. Warriors looking for the historic sweep, and we'll have all the coverage of it for you beginning at 8 o'clock right here on 106.5 The Ticket. To baseball now, Tigers start a weekend series in Fenway against the Red Sox. Jordan Zimmerman, Brian Johnson in this one, 7:10 first pitch time from Beantown. Cleveland Indians back at Progressive Field to take on the White Sox, first of a weekend series. Corey Kluber gets Miguel Gonzalez, 7:10 first pitch time from Cleveland. Cincinnati Reds, they start a West Coast trip in L.A. to take on the Dodgers. Amir Garrett, Rich Hill in this one, 10:10 late night first pitch time there. And the Toledo Mudhens also on the road this weekend, first of three in Louisville, 7:05 first pitch time there. Finally, that was kind of quick. Just days after Thad Modest's 13-year tenure with the Buckeyes comes to an end, Ohio State has its new basketball coach. They signed Chris Holtman to an 8-year deal, paying him about $3 million per. Holtman had been at Butler for the past 3 years, going to the tourney all three of those years, and was the Big East Coach of the Year in 2017. Breaking sports news first here on The Ticket.
This just in. Perrysburg Auto Mall in Cronin Buick GMC has been crowned as an official Cash for Dunker Redemption Center.
That's right. You can get up to $4,000 over Kelley Blue Book for any trade.
Do your research. Look online.
Find out what your trade is worth.
Then get to Perrysburg Auto Mall and Cronin Buick GMC and get up to $4,000 over book value. Drive a 2017 GMC Terrain from $229 a month with zero down.
Or a 2017 Buick Encore from $189 a month.
Also with zero down.
And get up to $4,000 more for your trade.
Perrysburg Auto Mall, located within the only auto mall in Northwest Ohio.
And Cronin Buick GMC is located at 1099 North Main Street, Bowling Green.
Or shop online at PerrysburgAutoMall.com.
And remember, if your vehicle doesn't say Perrysburg Auto Mall on the back,
you pay too much.
Once again, it's the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
That is indeed what it is. Hey, I've got a couple of fun things that I want to do for you in the last segment, or do with you in the last segment right here of the Extravaganza on this Friday. Number one is on Twitter, and our Twitter feed is Sports Radio 106.5, Sports Radio 106.5. And you can also find us on Facebook at 106.5 The Ticket, although this isn't there yet. I put up a poll asking about, you know, because of the way Kevin Durant is playing in this series and how he has passed up LeBron James, or in some people's minds passed up LeBron James as the best player in the NBA, at least right now today, the way things have gone and so on. We put up a poll yesterday that asked this question. You have to win a game tonight. Your life savings is on the line. You don't know who the opponent is going to be. Who do you take first for your team? LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, or somebody else? That was yesterday's poll. Right now, that poll is over. Final results, LeBron James got 64% of the vote. 23% for Kevin Durant, 5% for Steph Curry. 8% for somebody else. Today, I updated that Twitter poll and wrote the following about an hour ago. Okay, among current players, you chose LeBron James. But now let's go all time. There's one game you must win. Life is on the line. The opponent is unknown. Who do you take? And the four choices I gave this time were LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson. I would have added Kobe Bryant, probably, but Twitter polls only allow you four choices. Right now, 90% of the respondents have not chosen LeBron James. They've chosen Michael Jordan. The other 10%, Larry Bird. I put the very same thing, poll up on my own personal Twitter feed, which I don't really use on the radio. But my own personal Twitter feed, I put the same poll up, and with a much bigger sample size, many more votes, very, very similar results. On my own personal Twitter feed, 61% say Michael Jordan, 25% say LeBron James, 11% choose Larry Bird, 3% choose Magic Johnson. As I say, I would have added Kobe Bryant and maybe Shaq and maybe a couple of other all-time superstars to that list, but Twitter only allows you to add four. So I'm kind of curious as to what you think about that. And if you want to dial 866-240-1065, you can do that. As I bring you the second really, really fun thing. And Jim Cushland now joins us from York. I guess they gave him a break from vacuuming out the cars that they're getting ready for sale. Also, Chris Lemieux, who is running the show for us behind the board today, is with us as well. So feel free to chime in on this, either one of you guys. But then the other really, really fun thing going on right now is they have announced a new Olympic sport that's going to be added to the 2020 Games in Tokyo. Did you guys hear about what sport it is?
No.
Kush, did you catch this?
No, I did not.
Chris Lemieux, did you see this yet?
Yeah, I did. It is going to be 3-on-3 basketball.
I just asked if you got it. I didn't say reveal it.
Oh. Well, there. What do you want me to do here?
It's all good. It's basketball, but it's 3-on-3, which is just simply all kinds of outstanding. I think this will be so much fun to watch, like playground basketball, half-court, 3-on-3 style. And by the way, in another move towards street sports, BMX freestyle cycling will also be in the Olympics for the first time, among a net increase of 15 gold medals available for a 321-event program starting in 2020. But I'm going to stay away from that one and focus on this one, because this is just going to be so much fun. 8 teams in each of the men's and women's tournaments of the half-court format, which will be introduced at the 2010 Youth Olympics in, wait a minute, hold on, which was introduced, I'm sorry, in the 2010 Youth Olympics in Singapore. The dream of a path from the streets to the Olympic Games has become a reality for all of the basketball community, said Patrick Bowman, Secretary General of FIBA, the Federal International Basketball Association. Is it federal? I think it's federal. Anyway. Federation of International Basketball Association. That sounds about right. Okay. Anyway, an urban Tokyo venue for 3-on-3 basketball would be announced when the IOC Executive Board meets in July, et cetera, et cetera. So let me skip over to the Olympic side of that to do the real fun thing here. SB Nation, good folks over at SB Nation, did something very cool in honor of the 3-on-3 Olympic basketball edition. They have taken the current NBA rosters, all 30 rosters, and chosen their best 3-on-3 lineups. The best, you know, if they were to send a team to the Olympics, their best 3-on-3 from each roster and rank them 1 through 30. I'm going to give you guys a chance here. And Jim Cushland, since you've been working hard out there cleaning out those cars at York this afternoon and occasionally chiming in to tell people how to buy them, right. I'm going to let you go first. Tell me as many of the top five of the 3-on-3 rosters that you can think of.
All right, so 3-on-3, three guys from each team.
Correct.
Is what you need me. Okay.
Each team's best 3-on-3.
All right, well, let's start with, to me, obvious for the Cavs, it would be LeBron, Kyrie, and
Love. No, that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to pick the five best. They're ranked. Bleacher Report has, not Bleacher Report, SB Nation has ranked them. Which five teams are going to have the top five, because they ranked them 1 through 30. Let me eliminate some of the suspense for you. Number 30 is the Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, and Larry Nance. Number 29 is the Mavericks, Seth Curry, Harrison Barnes, Nerlens Noel would be the 29th best 3-on-3 to come out of the current NBA team. So those are teams that are not there. Pick which teams do you think are going to be in the top five.
I follow you now. Okay, I think the Cavs would be, this is in no particular order, the Cavs would be the Warriors.
Okay.
I think the Spurs may be in there.
Okay, that's three. Pick two more.
Clippers.
I'm not going to tell you what's right or not, but go ahead.
Right. Clippers, I think, might be in there. And for the fifth one, Washington. I don't know why, but I'm going to say Washington.
That's fine. Chris Lemieux, I trust you haven't cheated and looked at this list. Off the top of your head, which would be the top five teams in a 3-on-3 tournament?
I saw it earlier.
Cheated.
No, I write for Pride of Detroit, which is an SB Nation site.
Oh, duh, of course
so,
you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, so of course you do. I saw this, yeah.
We talk to you all about that all the time for the Lions especially. Okay, well, Jim Cushland, not bad. You were 4 out of 5. Here's the way SB Nation ranked them. I'll tell you what. I'll even give you the top 10 just for fun. The 10th best 3-on-3 team to come out of the NBA, according to SB Nation, would be the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, and Jabari Parker when healthy. And I'll tell you what, that's pretty damn good. That is a very, very good threesome.
Especially number with the caveat, when healthy.
Number 9, Jim Cushlin, was one of your top 5. The Wizards. John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Markieff Morris. Wall and Beal, a duo tailor-made for 2-on-2. But what are you going to do with the third one? They thought about Otto Porter, but he's mostly a corner three-pointer, so they added Markieff Morris, who can shoot the three but also create a shot. And that's what 3-on-3 is all about. Even 2-on-2, you got to be able to create a shot.
Yeah.
Number 8, the Toronto Raptors. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, and Serge Ibaka. I think that's a little high because I don't think Ibaka is a shot creator, personally. Right. I think he would struggle, although he'd be really good to defend one of the three in a 3-on-3 tournament. Number 7, this might be a surprise to a lot of people. The Minnesota Timberwolves. Zach LaVine, dunk master, Andrew Wiggins, former number one pick of the Cavaliers, and Karl Anthony Towns, number one pick of the Minnesota Timberwolves. They would be very, very fun to watch. They're all young and athletic. That could be a lot of trouble for anybody. Number 6, the Boston Celtics. Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Al Horford. I think that's a little high. Maybe it's because I'm not a huge Al Horford fan.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me. He strikes me as a guy who can do some of the dirty stuff needed and clean up some garbage and to get lost in an offense in a 5-on-5 full-court game where they forget about him and he can make some shots.
Yeah.
I don't see him as a shot creator who in a 3-on-3 game is going to beat too many guys, personally.
I agree with that, but if you're taking Boston's roster, you got to put somebody in there.
Yeah, but that my point is I think it's too high.
The Boston ranking is
too high because of that third guy. I'd put that outside of the top 10, personally. Number 5, Kush, you got this one in your top 5, is? Well, you tell me, which one do you think it is, since you picked them all? We'll see where you rated them.
Spurs.
Nope, Clippers. L.A. Clippers with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and who do you think the third one is?
I'm almost wondering if they're going to say Redick.
Nope, incorrect.
Hmm.
And it's not DeAndre Jordan, which
I knew it wouldn't be Jordan.
Because you got to defend somebody.
Yeah.
You got to defend people and be a rim protector, too. And, slide off of your guy and help if somebody gets beat going to the rack in 3-on-3.
Yeah.
We all know that. But it's not DeAndre Jordan. They went with Jamal Crawford.
Interesting.
And Jamal Crawford is interesting because, as they noted at SB Nation, he is the guy who can get a shot pretty much at any time from anywhere. He is a very, very creative kind of a shot maker. So I can certainly see that. Number 4, a team you did not have in your top 5, you substituted for the Washington Wizards. You have any idea who it is now?
Well, we pretty much eliminated it.
It's not the Wizards, and I've already told you.
I haven't said or heard Houston yet.
You're correct. You have not, and there you go. It is the Rockets with James Harden, Eric Gordon, and Ryan Anderson.
Okay.
They've got that's a lot of space to clear the floor there, and you can defend Harden one-on-one or give Anderson or Gordon open looks at threes. That's really tough to deal with. Number 3, which one do you think it is?
That one to me would then be the Spurs.
Yeah, because you were counting down to the Cavaliers and Warriors at 1 and 2 one way or the other.
Right.
And indeed,
I'm assuming Cavs and Warriors, Warriors 1, Cavs 2.
Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Jonathan Simmons, which I find interesting, and I think this is ranked a little high. Number 1, I maybe it's just because I've lost a little bit of respect for the game of LaMarcus Aldridge, especially in that postseason, especially in that series against the Warriors.
Yeah.
He shrunk. When they needed him to rise because Kawhi was down with the ankle, LaMarcus Aldridge did not rise. He shrunk in the spot.
Very true.
To me. And then Jonathan Simmons is a very athletic guy. But quite frankly, to say that he would be able to score enough to compete with the rest of the teams in this top 5, not really.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel the same way about Aldridge. I assumed he'd be one of the three. The thing that surprised me about that is no Parker or Ginobili amongst your three?
No, no, not at this age. Not at their age, no. No, I am actually not surprised about that. Number 2 is the Cleveland Cavaliers, as we discussed. You know that Kyrie and LeBron are the centerpieces of this 3-on-3 team. But who's the third member, Kush?
The way you're saying it tells me they are not using Kevin Love, so I'm going to go out on a random limb and think Kyle Korver?
No, it's not. And as a matter of fact, I would have gone out on a limb and said J.R. Smith, because in a 3-on-3, my God, you got the shooter like that.
Yep.
And such an aggressive. You know what's weird? he's known primarily in Cleveland since he's been there as that three-point marksman, just that assassin, which he was in Game 3. He was notably absent, invisible in Games 1 and 2 in that regard. But he's noted as a sharpshooter, which is what he's been. But have you seen some of the video of him as a Knick? If you go back and look at J.R. Smith in the early part of his career.
Not in a while, but you're going to make me want to.
He was a dunking machine. He was a rim-attacking, driving, soaring, flying, double-pumping dunking machine. He can get to the rack and score. He is not just that one-trick pony outside shooter the way that Kyle Korver is. And I would have thought in a three-on-three matchup, that would be tremendous.
Yeah.
But you know who they went with?
Well, if it's not Korver and it's not JR, then I'm thinking they're putting up Shump.
No, it's Kevin Love. I never told you it wasn't.
Ah, the way you were throwing it, I assume that meant they left Kevin Love.
I did not say any such thing. I just said, do you know who they chose for number three? That's all I said.
That's
and the
true.
Answer is Kevin Love.
The way I heard it, it's just funny. You totally got me there, Bob, because the way I'm thinking of it is, well, the way he's saying this, it must not be Kevin Love. So let me scan through the roster for a second.
I set you up pretty good.
You got me. You got me good.
And it makes sense, too, because, you know, in 3-on-3, or anybody who's ever played 2-on-2 or 3-on-3, obviously, if you force a miss, you got to collect. Especially, and I don't know if the rules are going to be make it, take it. That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
I didn't see that in the Olympic story. I don't know if the rules are going to be make it, take it, and if it's like going to be straight 15 like Street Paul is,
like
or straight 11 or whatever the case might be. But you've got to collect that rebound. And
Touché.
You know what? You got LeBron as the freight train coming through. You got Kyrie, and we've seen what Kyrie can do and does do to you know, five-man defenses, attacking what looks to be way too crowded of a lane and somehow getting up and coming down on the other side with a bucket. It's just sick watching him. Well, imagine if he only had one guy guarding him or three guys, you know, if everybody were to drop off of LeBron and Kevin Love, imagine the damage that Kyrie is going to do. Easy to understand why they would be number two on this list.
Yeah.
And if he does miss, Kevin Love is just one of the game's best rebounders, just period, point blank. There's just no other way to say it than that. And then number one, of course, is the Warriors, and it is their big three, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson. The note from SB Nation, it only took me about 4 seconds to choose Klay Thompson over Draymond Green here. Why? Because this is 3-on-3, and I'm not sure Draymond is as important in a half-court pickup game as Klay is, and there's no doubt about it. Draymond Green, to me, wouldn't even be part of my five, to be quite honest with you, because, again, I'm not a Draymond Green fan
in any
way, shape, or form. But now the real question is then, and Chris Lemieux, you can get in on this part of the discussion before we're done here, the finals for the gold medal. Let's just say the Cavaliers represent one country and the Warriors represent another. Obviously, they would be competing for the same team if they wanted to go into the Olympics in the 3-on-3 tournament.
Sure.
But in this hypothetical 3-on-3 for the gold medal, Kyrie, LeBron, and Love against Curry, Durant, and Thompson. Who wins, Chris?
Man. I've got to give the edge to the sorry, let me speak a little clearer into this. This mic's kind of going in and out.
That's better.
I've got to give it to the – strangely enough, I think I'm going to have to go Cavs because I think in a 3-on-3, like LeBron just kind of dominates in probably a better way. I mean, granted, though, this is what we're talking, what, 2020? So I'm going to have to add like 3 years to his age. So.
Ooh, good point. Yeah, LeBron would be 35 then when the
– Yeah.
But you know what?
But Curry,
to offset that, this is half court. You know, I mean, it's not going to take the full running the floor thing that might wear out an aging 35-year-old's legs.
Sure, and to be fair, on the other side of this equation, you do have Curry's knees, which, I mean, he's going to age a little faster in that regard because of just, you know, the beating he's taken on there. Is it knees or his ankles? Either way, it's something in his legs, like I remember reading about that. So, yeah, I would give a slight edge to the Cavs, but this is really well matched up.
Yeah, I think it really is, too. Kush, what do you see? Who do you see winning that?
I would right now have to go to the Warriors, only because you guys brought up the interesting point there right at the end. This would take effect for the 2020 games, so you're in a position where LeBron is 3 years older, which changes the equation. Now I fully understand why, because if they're going that thing, where these guys would be in 2020, now I totally see why Spurs, you can't include Manu or Tony Parker, they'd probably be having retired, you know, by then.
Yeah, good point.
The side question to this actual event in reality is I wonder if certain countries, like the United States, would get multiple teams. And I couch this in two other Olympic sports. You know, there's that beach volleyball, right? That's a two-person sport. And I recall there were two or three American teams in the this past Olympics last summer for this. So there were three teams, or at least two, from the United States that were both in fact, they played each other at one point. So I wonder if the U.S. would get multiple slots.
I don't know how that works. That's a really good question.
I don't either. It's got to be a qualifying thing. There's all sorts of weird, funky qualifying things, which they probably obviously haven't, figured out yet.
And I don't know. We have to figure that out. I mean, if they wanted to, they could have multiple NBA or regular Olympic basketball teams, and the American team could have multiple teams. You know, it could be USA against USA for the gold medal, but they don't do that. You only get to name one team, right?
Yeah, in most sports,
the dream team was the dream team. They could have also had the silver and the gold by putting the next best American players there.
Very true, and that's very true, and that's why I compared it to volleyball and beach volleyball, which are both Olympic sports. In regular, where it's like five or six people on the court, there's only one team. But I happen to notice that last summer there were multiple U.S. teams in Brazil for the beach volleyball event, and I'm just wondering out loud if a three-on-three basketball, unlike regular, would operate in the same way. Obviously, we don't know yet. There's probably more things to work out on that.
Very, very interesting. And you know what? Here's a better question. Let's suppose, and by the way, I think I would give the edge to the Cavaliers as well. And that's not for being a homer or anything else, or because the Warriors are going to win the World Championship tonight. I just think that kind of what Chris said, I think LeBron would be very, very difficult in a half-court game for Kevin Durant because his muscle. He can just power him in there and do the things that he
does. Even with 3 years of extra age.
And because of what I said about Kyrie as well and his ability to break down anybody off the dribble. So what's really interesting, guys, let's just say if it was, and I know the music is playing, we got to go, but just, and we'll have to do this Monday, I guess, but if it was just one American team that could be there, what would be the three guys?
Wow.
Who, you know what I mean? If you had to name your one American team, and which players do you think would choose to enter the three-on-three Olympic basketball tournament rather than be on the Olympic team?
Because they couldn't be on both. That's a good point.
You know, that's a fascinating thing. We got to bring that up on Monday, but we got to
go now.
Because the music is playing. Jim Cushlin, thanks so much for joining us out there from YARC. Thanks to Chris Lemieux. Good to talk to you again. It's been a long time. Great job running the board, Mr. Lemieux. And guess what? Game four is tonight. We'll react to it on Monday and finally get into the post-NBA discussions that will come our way starting Monday at 3 o'clock. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.